Your thoughts on the way Cameron Fleming, I'm sorry, way Marcus Cannon has played this year and the role he's served first three games at left guard and then moving to a role of third tackle and what he's done for you?
Well, you know, he's last year he had an opportunity to play a lot. I thought he played well this year. You know, he gives us a lot of depth at a key position. So, you know, it's always good to have him on the field. Works hard, very athletic guy, tough.
How much has he worked at his technique since 2011?
Marcus works hard, yeah. He's done a lot of different things for us. He's improved a lot.
There's a report that you guys have signed into an extension. Is that anything that you can comment on at this point?
Yeah, I don't really talk too much about contracts. Just right now, I'm worried about Miami.
Well, there's another report in the Washington Post today regarding Nene and Dr. Gill. The story alleges that you directed Dr. Gill to delay surgery. I just wanted to give you an opportunity to respond.
Yeah, that case has been over for a long time.
The Dolphins, and you mentioned earlier this week about Tannehill's running ability and that he doesn't necessarily carry the ball for a ton of attempts every game, but when he does, he's usually pretty effective. Just wondering with that option running play where he can either hand it off or keep it himself, is there a key for your defensive lineman in terms of being able to limit those big games that he has been able to pick up?
Well, I mean, yeah, I think we, you know, just have to do your job. It's like run a reverse, though. It's, you know, hand it off, hand it off, hand it off, hand it off. You know, hand it off 30 times and then keep it once. But, you know, he does that. He's done it on fourth down. He's done it on some, you know, in some critical situations. Or he's done it when it's been wide open and he's gained, you know, a lot of yards on it. So, no, it isn't something of, you know, if it ran the play a lot, it probably would look different than when it, again, like a reverse, when he does it infrequently and he kind of, you know, catches the defense overplaying the zone part of the play, then, you know, he's able to you know, get that little edge to get the first down, or in some cases they just let him go and, you know, he runs out there on air. So just got to be disciplined and do our job. I mean, somebody's got him. Like, we're not – I don't think everybody, I don't think anybody is not taking them on that. It's just they overplay something else or forget, you know, kind of forget about them, and there he goes.
Does that temper or limit the pass rush? Do you have to be less aggressive in some respects?
No, it's the same as, it's different, but it's the same as, like, Denver when Coach Shanahan was there and they ran the boots. You know, instead of closing down on the backside to make the play on the run, you got to check the quarterback in case he boots it out there and they run some type of crossing pattern or outside route or whatever it is, and you lose contain on the quarterback. So if you stand there and watch the quarterback, then you lose that player in the running game. If you chase the run, then when they boot it, you have nobody on them. It's kind of the same thing, except instead of trying to pass the ball a lot, but they do throw it, but, you know, he'll keep it and run it. Those Shanahan kind of plays, or, you know, what Baltimore does now, it's letting the quarterback outside with nobody on him, which is, you know, it's the same thing, but it's a little bit different. So that gives you a way to control the extra guy in the box. So if you have, you know, six blockers against seven defenders, that quarterback keeping the ball, whether it's on a keep or a bootleg, controls that seventh guy. So now you're back to 6-on-6. So it's, you know, good, you know, that's part of that whole system.
I can't remember if you were asked this earlier this week, but a couple of your defensive players after the game on Sunday singled out Silver and the enthusiasm that he brings. I'm wondering if you've seen that from the get-go. Is he a guy that just brings that every practice, every game, and how can
yeah, he's got good energy. You know, likes to play football, likes to practice. So.
Does that kind of trait, what's the right word? Is it?
I mean, I'd say we have a lot of guys on our team that I would say that about. I wouldn't, like, put him in a category of, you know, one of three guys or anything like that. But, you know, he brings it. It's good. I mean, we love it. And so do a lot of other guys. I mean, I'd say the thing that's unique about it was, you know, he hasn't been doing it for a while. You know, it's good to have him back out there. Good to, you know, have another guy that brings that. But we just haven't seen him in a little while, that's all. Wouldn't say it was really anything different or anything that a lot of other guys don't do, but him doing it is new because he hasn't done it. I don't know, 8, 9 weeks, whatever it was.
I mean, obviously it's been a long time since you guys played the Dolphins, and there are players on both sides that that are with their teams now that weren't in week one. So how do you feel like Rashad Jones has changed Miami's secondary? I think just from hearing from people down there, it sounds like he's kind of changed the way they play.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a good player, and he's a physical player. You know, he's a strong safety, and that's kind of the position that he played. I mean, it's kind of interesting because when we played him in the first game, he was out, but Delmas played strong safety, so. Delmas was the strong safety. Wilson was the free safety. Now with Delmas out, it looks like, you know, I would imagine Wilson will go back to safety, which is what they did at the end of the game last week, and kind of what they did against us, because Jones and Delmas played together in preseason. Jones played strong, Delmas played weak, and then when Jones went out in our game, then Delmas moved down, and Wilson went in, and then that's what the way it was for four games. And then last week when Delmas got hurt, then Wilson went back in. So I'd say the bottom line is we've seen either Delmas or Jones at strong safety and Wilson at free safety. So we haven't really seen both those guys on the field together. We haven't, but every, you know, a lot of other teams have. The other, I don't know, 10 teams or however many it's been, 9 teams. So it's kind of interesting how that's worked out. So I would expect that we would get Wilson back at free safety, which is what we saw in the opener, which is, like I said, what they did the first month of the season when they didn't have Jones. And Delmas took Jones' spot. Now it looks like Jones is kind of going to probably stay at his spot, and you know, we'll see Wilson there. And then if Wilson plays the nickelback, which is what his role was when Delmas and Jones were in there together, then Wilson was really a nickelback. Then if they did that, then they brought Akins in at safety.
What's made Jones good at that strong safety spot? What is it about his?
Well, I mean, you know, he's a big guy, big 215-pound guy, runs well. You know, has a lot of experience at that position. He's been in their system, and you know, knows the defense well, which they do a lot of different things and they disguise and all that. So he's, you know, I'd say he's pretty, you know, comfortable there. He's a good blitzer. He's a good in the running game, and he runs well. So, I mean, you know, they signed him to a big contract. They obviously, you know, like the guy and like the things that he brings to their team. You know, I'm sure in other ways too.
Tight ends much in coverage?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, in our game, they really they put Taylor on Rob. They played more dime. They're really more of a nickel team than they are of a dime team. You know, with Jenkins and whoever the two linebackers have been, because those guys have kind of shuffled in and out too, based on who was healthy. But, you know, they do use him some. They used, you know, Delmas some. And, again, they against us, they played a little more dime in the first game with 6 DBs, which they haven't done a lot of that during the year, but it has showed up. So, yeah, but he definitely can run, you know, he can run with, you know, with tight ends. So, no, got good speed. And he's a bigger guy. He's, like I said, 215 or whatever he is. He's a big, strong guy.
A couple of the players said yesterday that you took full advantage of the opportunity that Rob Gronkowski has given. But just too good to pass up.
Yeah, we're spending a lot of our time on Miami. That's really what we need to be doing, is focusing on the Dolphins.
Well, earlier in the week, Josh was talking about the difference between goal line offense and what the defense gives you. It's usually just one look as opposed to inside the 20 or even inside the 10. What are the differences, X and O's, between being right at the goal line defensively, what you see, as opposed to further out?
Well, I'm not really sure the context of the question. First of all, I think it depends on who you have on the field. Like, who do you have out there on offense? Do you see anything on the goal line from teams that put, you know, close formation, three tight ends, or two tight ends and an offensive lineman, or, you know, whatever that goal line grouping is? That's one thing. And then there's teams like Miami, or that we've done it plenty of times, where it's, you're on the 1 yard line and you have a third down type of grouping out there. So, defensively, look, when you call defenses, I mean, for the most part, you're matching up against the offense. If they put three tight ends out there, you're not going to call the same thing as you call if they put four receivers out there. I guess I've coached a lot of defense. I mean, I just don't think that's the way it works. So if they put three tight ends out there, then you're going to match them with whatever you would match a team that has that or something similar to it. If a team puts three receivers, a back, and a tight end out there, I mean, maybe you could live with that, but most likely you probably would match it with a different group. So what you see depends on what you do. If you put a lot of big people out on the field, then, yeah, I would say most teams have a much smaller defensive package against that, as they should, because, I mean, the number of times we see that over the course of a year defensively is probably less than 20, and probably the number of times that we run that offensively is, you know, in the same neighborhood. So, yeah, you have a lot less defense against that grouping than you would have against another grouping.
That was his context in that, like, when Tom, when you, on the first drive of the game, when you were down there, and I asked him, you know, what kind of looks can a defense give you, and what kind of options do you have, and he's like...
Yeah, they usually have whatever that personnel group is for them, and then, let's say, normally, you know, one or two, three at the most, I would say, you know, their main look and then a variation of it, or possibly two variations of it, depending on what, you know, how far they want to go with it. And, you know, some teams just play one thing, but, you know, usually there's a little bit of a change up to it. So I'd say that's pretty normal for most defenses. I mean, that's what we do. That's what Miami does. That's what San Diego, yeah, I mean, that's probably what most teams are going to do. They have one or two defenses for that type of grouping.
Something that Rob said recently was that when he was a younger player, Tom pushed him a lot. You know, was, you know, could be, it sounded like, hard on him at times, just because he wanted to make him better. Just wonder, I'm sure, or I don't know, is Tom really the one who kinds of, in terms of players, older players pushing younger players, are there a handful of guys on the team now that that will do that, and how important is it to a team in general to have that kind of relationship where the older guys are making sure the younger guys are doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Well, I'd say the natural... I mean, look, in a passing game, the guy who holds the ball really is the guy who controls the passing game. I mean, even as a coach, you call whatever play you want, but the guy who's throwing it is the guy who really has to make the decision and run the passing game. So it all needs to go through his eyes. I think, you know, any good quarterback would is really the guy to communicate with the receivers of, you know, this is what I'm seeing on this route. This is where this guy is. Here's where I'm thinking you're going to go. You know, of course, there's a two-way street on that, you know, with the receiver saying, well, here's, you know, what I'm seeing. You know, how do you want to do this? So you just get on the same page. But, I mean, in the end, the quarterback, like, he does that to all receivers, you know, whether it's, you know, Tom or Vinny or Burt Jones or any of the other quarterbacks I've been around. You know, I'd say that's kind of how it works. Yeah, and sure, Tom's good at that. You know, he has a great understanding of the passing game. He has a lot of experience, and, you know, he certainly would be one to tell Rob, you know, let's do this, do that, or, you know, here's where I expect you to go on this type of look. So, yeah. But, you know, I think that's pretty normal in terms of, like, who's telling who what to do. You know, on the offensive line, you usually have, you know, a guy that is sort of the vocal guy on the offensive line, too. You know, similar to, like, look, this situation, here's how we're going to handle it. You know, we're going to do this. You know, you got to do that. I'm going to do the next thing, you know, however it falls in line. So, you know, I think that there are certain, it's the same thing defensively. The signal caller, whoever that is, it could be a safety, it could be a linebacker, it could be both, it could be two linebackers, maybe one guy with the front, another guy with the coverage. I mean, however you set it up. But, you know, you kind of have the same type of chain of command on that side of the ball, too. Like, somebody's got to make a decision. Somebody's got to, you know, tell somebody what to do. And, of course, if it's an experienced player like Mayo or Brady or somebody like that, then you have the whole, you know, that person and their personality plus the position and the communication process that needs to happen. So, but I would say, you know, Rob's been, you know, he's had three coaches. I think all the coaches have pushed him. I think Brian's really done a good job with him this year. I think Brian's, you know, really, you know, pushed him to do things this year at a higher level than he's done them before, just because he has more experience. He has more of a background, a better understanding of a lot of little things, you know, and I think, you know, Brian pushed him, Coach Godsey pushed him, Coach Ferentz pushed him, you know, again, in different ways, blocking, receiving, pass protection, you know, red area, I mean, all those things, but, you know, I think it's probably a combination of those, but certainly the quarterback, you know, is the driving force in the passing game, no question about that.
To go off of that, does it take, I don't know, obviously it's both the coaching staff and the veteran players, it sounds like, when there are those situations working with younger guys, but does it take any work off of the coaching staff when you do have older guys that are experienced and know what they're doing, able to help some of the younger guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bottom line is just everybody being on the same page. You know, just everybody's got to be on the same page. And, you know, I think as you work longer with a certain player and you develop a rapport and a communication pattern and a respect for each other, you know, that we all understand that it's a little bit different. And some guys see things one way, some guys see them a little bit differently. Not saying one's right or one's wrong. But the bottom line is for us to all see it the same way together. And I've coached, you know, hundreds of players, and they're not all the same. And some guys can do one thing, and they have a hard time with something else. And the next guy, the other thing comes very easily to him, and the thing that came easily to another player comes very hard to that guy. So as you're coaching that guy, you know, and he tells you, look, I know what you're saying. I don't see that, you know. I just have a hard time with that. Okay, well then, you know, let's try to work it this way. Or maybe we don't call that play. Maybe we don't run that type of a pattern because the way I'm seeing it as a coach just isn't the way you're seeing it as a player, and we got enough other plays. Let's run something else. Or the player might say, you know, like, I really like this concept. I can, you know, see this and anticipate it better. Maybe that's not something that, you know, is a big part of your offense, but okay, that's a concept that's very comfortable to him. Maybe you run that concept a couple different ways so that, you know, the defense can't see that it's coming, but you have a couple different ways to get to it, and it's something that he's comfortable with and he executes well. And so there's always that kind of, you know, modification with, you know, players and particularly quarterbacks, or, you know, on defense, it's the same thing. Once you kind of, you know, get the guys, and there's some things that, like I said, there's some things they can handle, and there's some things sometimes that they just have a hard time with, you know. I mean, I've coached linebackers. You could be 3-on-3, like us three got those three, and, you know, however it goes, we can sort it out, and we can, you know, and they could get it. It was never a problem, you know, with all the different things that those three receivers could do, whoever those three guys were. Then I've coached other teams that, like, we could run 10 of them, we probably would get, you know, 2 out of 10 right. You know, somebody would come free, or would be late going to a guy, and he'd be open, and we just couldn't do it. So you don't do it. You lock one guy in, and you go 2-on-2. But, you know, sometimes you got to find that out, you know, and what one team could do or what one group of players can do. And sometimes it's experience, but sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just the way that, you know, a guy, you know, what he sees and what he's able to process. So it's a good question, and it's something that's not – I don't think there's any textbook answer to it. At least it's not in my experience. It's just something you got to, you know, learn as you go, you know, what's – so I think the communication between players and players, coaches and players, but the bottom line is however we do it, we all see it the same way. We all understand it. We all know what we're going to do if they give us a problem. We all know how what we're trying to beat. You know, what's our answer when they take it away? You know, and make sure that we don't turn the ball over. We don't have a bad play. We turn somebody loose. You know, how do we make the best out of a, you know, not a great situation? What do we want to call it against? What, you know, it's a good play, but it's not a good play against something that we don't want to run it against. So, you know, maybe there's a way to just run it on terms that we want to run it on. So, I mean, I think all that plays into it. Long answer to a short question. Okay, thank you.